Welcome to Look to the Moon podcast, bringing together two friends with stories that need sharing. Join us, Jodie and Nicole, as we navigate life after loss, discussing topics around birth, trauma, and baby loss, and providing a safe space for others to share their stories. Hi everybody, welcome to episode 9 of Look to the Moon podcast. I'm here with Nicole.
Hi everybody.
We have taken a little bit of a break. It seems like it's been...
It does seem a while, doesn't it?
Awful long time since we've actually sat down and recorded. I'm just trying to see when the last episode was dated, and then we would know when we last recorded.
October.
End of October.
Crikey, that's been a while, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But and life gets in the way sometimes.
And life has been a bit tough, I think.
Yes.
I think, especially for me.
Yeah, you've recently had a rough few weeks or months, haven't you, Jodie? So.
Yeah, and I think I put a post out on socials last week.
Yeah.
Just sort of saying, look, you know, we're still here and we are going to be continuing to record, and we've got interviews set up and all of this sort of stuff, but the reason why we haven't been recording is life, basically. Life's been getting in the way, and we have met up.
Yeah.
And I was just not in the right frame of mind to record.
No.
And there was a lot of things that I probably wouldn't necessarily go into that much detail on the podcast, especially because depending on who is listening as well, it would be quite difficult. But there was things I wanted to say to you or talk to you about off air or off record.
Yeah.
But I'm in a little bit of a better place than I was a few weeks ago, and things have sort of taken an upward turn, which is nice. So we've been ready to catch up, haven't we?
We have, yeah. Did you want to tell and talk about what you've been going through a little bit, Jodie?
Yeah, so I've been struggling with just life in general, in terms of I've got a number of things personally that we're trying to deal with, and they're not anything out of the ordinary necessarily. Well, I suppose they are, depending on how you look at it. But, you know, I've had a few health issues, which I don't mind talking about.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little bit more positive about that, so
good.
I'm quite happy to talk about that. And that sort of ties in with the complications I had in my pregnancy. So it would be good for me to be quite open about that, even though I'm a bit reluctant because it's fairly new.
Yeah. Well, even if you don't want to talk about that today, we could always schedule a podcast about that, because I bet you there's a lot of other women that have gone through similar.
Yeah, not to leave you all on the hook, but it might be an episode but we're trying to move house, and that's still ongoing. We've obviously got the case with the NHS because of my daughter's trauma at birth, which is still ongoing. And I've also gone back to work as of the beginning of this year, so I'm nearly at 12 months into a new job.
Yeah.
And I've been getting really overwhelmed, basically, and it all came to a head probably at the beginning of November.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 6 weeks ago, where I knew that something had to give. Whatever it was going to be, it had to be work, because all the other personal things that are ongoing, they're sort of out of my control.
Out of control, yeah, definitely.
And work is stressful, but it's stress that I've always been able to handle in the past. The stress at work is nothing new, but it is now harder for me to cope with that stress at work because of the person I am now.
And
I definitely do feel like I'm a different person, and I'm dealing with things differently, and I'm coping in a very different way.
Yeah, well, we said that previously, hadn't we, that you are struggling with how you used to cope with things and how you used to deal with challenges that life just throws at you, with now being a mum and everything a lot that brings along, and then trying to deal with life as well. Like, you have noticed that yourself, that you do deal with things differently, and that's normal.
Yeah.
But you you were very overwhelmed, weren't you?
I was very overwhelmed.
I think I basically forced myself to come to Jodie's house. You were like, you were like, no, let's not do podcasting. And I was like, well, I'm coming anyway.
And we
I just lay on Jodie's sofa and we just had a chat, didn't we?
Yeah, and I just cried at you for
about 2 hours.
That's
what you, and we've always done that with each other. So we've always used each other as like an outlet, haven't we? Especially this past year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%.
So,
and I think you,
it's needed sometimes.
Like, over all of my other friends who are brilliant, you understand, for different reasons, but you understand how work becomes so unimportant, but also how the trauma and the events that lead you up to starting a family or having a family or going through loss changes you.
Yeah,
it literally
definitely
changes the way you look at life, it changes the way you deal with things, it changes your priorities and your perspective on life. And, you know, I've always so prided myself on being quite an independent person, and you know, I love my husband to pieces, and but I've always said I want him, I don't need him. I know that sounds a bit strange, but you know, especially from an emotional perspective, I've always been quite resilient. From a financial perspective, you know, the thought of being dependent on somebody always scared me a little bit, you know, and I've never had to be in that position where I'm thinking I can't carry on working because of my mental health, because it's just an added stress that I don't need. But then I'll be completely dependent on my husband, which, you go through your marriage and,
that's
you know,
what marriage is all about,
and you, and you share, you know, sometimes I'm the strong one and then he's actually at the moment had to be more of the strong one because I've not been coping very well. So it must have been quite difficult for him, you know, seeing...
And seeing you being so upset and struggling and not, making decisions.
Not coping. And, like, I was finding that one thing was snowballing into another, and everything's been a coincidence,
but it's been one after another,
and I'm thinking, you know, I'd sort of come to the decision in my mind that I was like, right, you know, I'm gonna leave work, and at least it's just something else that I don't have to worry about. And I had quite an in-depth long conversation with my boss about how much I was struggling. And I've never really been that honest, or had to be that honest, because I've never really that struggled that much before. Yeah. And she knew me pre-baby.
Yeah.
And she knows me as this, and these were her words, a workhorse.
Yeah.
You know, I would stay up till whatever hour in the day to make sure the job was done. You know, I always prided myself, because I work in events, so I always get personally invested in events. And if they don't go well, I'm not one of these people that can just leave at work. You know, it affects me personally, because I want everybody involved to, you know, have a good show, or, you know, get some out of it, value for money, everything. And she said, you're not the same person that you were, and I'm learning that you're not the same person you were. Because my boss now was my client before I had my daughter. So we had a sort of a client relationship. Service relationship, if you like. And she offered me a job while I was pregnant. And so although the new job wasn't completely foreign to me, it was a totally different setup. New people, new office, new way of working. And I made, promises is probably the wrong word, but I made statements, I suppose, to her, and said, you know, I'll be able to do this, I'll be able to balance everything, and, you know, and my work's always been very important to me, and, you know, and I made statements that are now not true, now I've had the baby, and that's been quite hard to turn around and say I was wrong, or I was naive to think that, you know, I could put anything above my family. But also it's difficult, because I don't feel like a failure, but I also feel like, you know, the type of person I was before I had my daughter this new life balance would have been easy. I feel like I would have found it easier.
Yeah.
And I've not.
But it's not like... just having... You've not just had your daughter.
No, I know.
You've had your daughter plus everything else thrown at you.
Yeah.
Like, you were a very work-orientated, work-focused person, yeah, like you said, pre-baby.
Yeah.
But even during pregnancy, you don't know what's going to happen once you've had that baby, or how you're going to feel, how maternal you're going to be,
yeah,
what challenges you're going to face with that baby. And unfortunately, you've had a bit of a shitstorm.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's totally acceptable. Yeah. I was the same. I was always very work-driven.
Yeah.
Always doing overtime. And you were
passionate about your work.
Yeah, passionate about your work. We both enjoyed the jobs that we did pre-baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes your whole world. It flips your world upside down.
Yeah.
Just having a baby. And then going through the trauma and the birth trauma that you and your daughter have gone through.
Yeah.
Plus everything else that's happened.
Yeah. That,
you know, we haven't gone into detail, but we will.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more than understandable why you've and she, I'm sure, you know, even though your boss is older than we are now,
mm-hmm,
she's been in this situation before. She's had three children herself, you said. So maybe she's forgotten a little bit how hard it is having a baby or a toddler. And
well, I think my boss has always been really, really good, because, you know, she worked when her children were young, and she said to me, and, you know, if she listens to this, she won't say I'm misquoting her. You know, she regretted not being there as much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got options where, you know, I can have people collect my daughter from nursery and, you know, take care of her. But I've come to the realisation that I want to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I went into it thinking I wouldn't want to do it.
No.
But I went into it thinking it'll be easy for me to go, okay, I can get my parents to pick her up today or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that would be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not easy.
No.
You know. And
you don't want to miss out on that, because you don't get this time back. Like,
no.
She's only going to be this small and this little for this time.
Like, yeah.
And you're not going to have that again.
No.
Unless you had another baby, of course. But
this
daughter, with Bonnie that you've got, you don't want to miss out. And that's what I was like. Because I never did nursery runs in the NHS. I was like, at work for half seven.
Yeah. And it wasn't like you were doing a 9-to-5 or...
No.
You know, so you'd at least do a one where you were doing like 14-hour shifts.
I didn't do any nursery runs when I was in the NHS. None at all. Because she was only in nursery when I was working. Because obviously I did shift work, like you say, and do 3-4 long days or nights a week.
Yeah.
So she only was in nursery when I was working, and Richard did it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I missed out on that, and I regret that.
And you think as well, like, that must be really hard, because she's actually going to a place that you never go to. And you think she spends all this time there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's already in nursery 4 days a week.
Yeah.
So there was a conversation that, I'd made a promise that I've had to go back on, that I'd do a year, like 12 months of 4 days a week, going up to full time. Because my boss is at an age where she's looking to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she won't mind me saying this because people won't know who she is. But, and it's common knowledge, that she's going to be a grandmother.
Ah.
And her first grandbaby
is
due in the middle of next year. And she's like, I'm not missing out on that. And I'm thinking, well, we're actually saying the same thing, but
different
children or different generations. And I said, well, you're feeling how I'm feeling, is that I don't want to miss out. And what she was relying on is me stepping up so she could step down or step back. And I know that was why it was so hard for me to communicate that to her, that I don't know whether I'm the right person to step into her shoes.
Yeah.
Or...
Well, you didn't want to. Well, you don't want to anymore.
No, and just purely due to the fact that I can see how demanding it is already.
Yeah.
And it will become more demanding if I took over.
Yeah, more stressful.
And I'm not coping with the demand now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just because of my frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
That... You know, things might change when my boss comes to retire. I might be in a better headspace.
Yeah.
You know, Bonnie will be a bit older. It, I might be in a different position, but I've told her that I can't make any promises.
Yeah.
And I've said, I don't want to go up to full time. I said, I feel like I don't see her enough as it is.
Yeah.
And if I went to 5 days a week, that's, one, it's more cost because she'd have to go then.
Well, you actually have to pay her the extra day.
Because, and then I think I worked it out that if she went, because my salary's pro rata, obviously, 4 days a week. If it went up to 5 days a week and she went for that additional day at nursery, I think we'd be only about £100 better off per month. And £100 for not me to sacrifice it. Those days with her, mm-hmm. or that day a week, because she has a full day with just me, it's not worth it.
No, definitely not.
And like you say, she's probably getting to an age now that I'm finding a little bit easier as well. Yeah. So it was, I found my maternity very hard because she was obviously more demanding. The younger they are, the more demanding they are in terms of, you know, feeding.
Relying on you on
completely
everything.
Relying. Like I can literally leave her in the living room for 5 minutes and playing with the toys while I get a cup of tea or whatever. And, you know, where you couldn't do that when she's a baby. So I'm finding it a little bit easier now and I'm enjoying it a little bit more than I did, because I can honestly say I didn't enjoy a lot of my maternity leave. But again, that was my frame of mind paired with the stress of a new parent. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a really difficult few weeks, and I feel like I've, other than the fact that I've had that conversation with my boss, which has really taken a weight off my shoulders, which has made me feel better. I'm not saying that my problems have all gone away.
But you've dealt with what you needed to. Yeah,
and I think it shows you that you shouldn't be scared to talk. And you shouldn't be scared to be honest and say what you think. And, you know, because I was, like, I've known my boss now, although she's only been my boss for 12 months, I've known her for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I've got a huge amount of respect for her, and I didn't want to disappoint her.
You didn't want to let her down, did
you? I didn't want to let her down, I didn't want to disappoint her, and I didn't want to tell her things that she didn't want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm admitting that I'm not as good as I thought I was, or thought I would be.
Yeah.
And she was brilliant, and she listened to every single word I said. I got everything that I could off my chest.
Good.
And it was like a weight was been lifted, and that was just sort of an hour or two in a coffee shop where I just went, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And I either leave, which is probably not the way to deal with it if it can be fixed. If it can't be fixed, then it probably would have been my only solution. But there was a road or a pathway that could have alleviated pressure off my shoulders, and that's the pathway that we're going to try and take.
Yeah, good.
So that's been good, but yeah, a few weeks ago I was really low.
Yeah, really low.
And I was like, what can I cut out of my life so I don't feel this low?
Yeah.
That's where it got to. I was like, what can I get rid of?
Mm-hmm.
What? And I've never suffered with anxiety before. And I wouldn't say I suffer with anxiety now. I would say that certain circumstances that didn't used to make me anxious
trigger it
a little bit now. But I don't know where I was going with that now. Yeah, so like my mental health, I've always been, if something makes me anxious,
deal with it.
I deal with it as soon as I can.
Yeah.
So when I was like, right, what can I cut out of my life? What is one thing that I can get rid of, or several things that I can get over? And work was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd automatically made the decision to leave.
To leave, yeah.
Because I thought, right, it removes it, I'm done, I've made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously there's been various things that have happened, and, you know, the conversation with my boss, the honest conversation, has sort of turned that around a little bit. And removed it.
You've managed to alleviate it in a different way.
Yes, which I think
put things into place.
I was acting on emotion, and that's probably not the best.
But that's just like your safety net, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you say, what can I do? I'm going to leave. Okay, done.
Yeah, and then
have to think about it then.
Yeah. And I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, I like my mum suffers with anxiety, and I tell her, you know, what's making you anxious? Right, okay. Rather than sitting on that for weeks on end, sort it out. So my mum's, it's more like, you know, if she's got to talk to somebody about something, mm-hmm. like if she's got to ring up about a bill,
yeah.
or that's not right, or she's got to make an appointment with the doctor, or whatever it may be, and like, don't sit on it for weeks.
Don't wait for a week just to do it. Just do it now.
Get it out of the way, and then by the end of the day, that source of anxiety has disappeared. And I've always told my mum that that's how I deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really difficult when you've not got control of a lot of the situations that are happening in your life. So, but yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better, and probably this is why we're podcasting and talking. Yeah, no, you're
definitely coming around tonight. You can definitely see a difference in your mood and how you're feeling about everything. You've got a smile on your face again.
I was totally on edge, and
I
just knew that, like, when you come round, I'd just spend the entire time like crying, going, I don't know what
totally
to do.
Okay. I've done it to you many of times, so it's your turn.
That's what we do together, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, if you've got a bit of a life update in terms of how busy you've been, but in a positive way, with the business.
So the business, obviously, if you've listened previous episodes, me and my partner Richard, after the loss of Luna, both quit our jobs. we did the opposite to Jodie, we just quit.
But I think that was the best. That was that
it was, definitely
the best,
option.
Because you were never going to find a light at the end of that tunnel, like that working tunnel.
So we both quit our jobs and we opened up our own business in May this year. Completely different dry cleaning and laundry business, but my goodness, has it blown up this week. Like we said that previously, that we've been really busy, but this week we've just been like so busy that we've had to drag in all our family and friends. Everyone's been helping out where they can, but it's really good for the business.
Good problem to have.
Yeah, exactly. Good problem to have, especially the week before Christmas. So that has alleviated a lot of pressure from us, obviously, opening a new business. We've put everything we had into it. You know, I'm not going to go into financial details, but it's been a lot different from having a regular, healthy income.
You know, it's not
professional jobs.
You've gone from literally like two paychecks, hitting your
to
bank
nothing.
On a certain day to nothing.
Yeah,
and
you only get what you put in.
Yeah, and I said that to you before. If you don't put anything in, you don't get anything out of it.
Yeah, so we've been working. I've been at the shop till like 12:30 doing 15-hour shifts. Poor Richard's been at the shop at like 5:30 in the morning, but we've come through this week and it's been amazing for the business. So so that's been really good for us, actually. And we're gonna have a few days off for Christmas, which again I've never been able to do because shift work in the NHS, like I often we either work one or the other a bit of both, whereas this year I'm just like, no, I'm not working Christmas day,
not
working
Boxing
Day.
And that's so good that you're able to do that,
isn't it? Yeah, because that was the whole point of it, is that after losing Luna, it made us realise, like you've just said, like, I'm missing out on so much of Lila's life, and I'm never going to get this back. So that was another big reason for quitting my job, is, like, I want to do the nursery runs. I want to go to the school nativity when she's in school next year. I want to do sports days, parents' evening, whereas I wouldn't have been able to in the NHS. So so that's been massive for us, is that now we own our own business. We are the boss. We get to choose when we have days off, and this year it means we get to spend all the time we can with Lila over Christmas as a family. So so that's exciting. We're looking forward to Christmas, and Lila's obviously at that age now where she's 3, nearly 4, so she understands
Santa.
Christmas and Santa, and she thinks she's on the nice list, although she probably wouldn't be if it was, you know. But she will be on the nice list just because she's adorable, but a little bugger as well. So that's that's work. That's been busy.
Busy.
Yeah, but good. So,
So when do you actually reopen?
What? Open the shop? So, we're in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're just doing a couple of hours on Christmas Eve. So, we're only working till 12 or 1, I think it is, on Christmas Eve. And then the rest of the day off, Christmas off, Boxing Day off. And then we're just doing, in between Christmas and New Year, we're just doing a few hours a day, just so people know they can drop off if they need to. Keep things flowing, and then start, like, obviously again back on the normal hours at when in January.
Yeah.
Whatever day that is, I don't even know. I don't even know what day it falls on.
I think the second falls on the Thursday.
So it's like the 6th, I think. It's Monday the 6th.
Oh, you're going, oh, that's, so you're having a good time off then.
Yeah, well, we're not being, so we're working the days, but we're not doing like 9 till 5 like we normally would. We're just doing a few hours here and there.
Yeah,
like,
reduced hours over Christmas.
Reduced hours, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good.
So yeah, so that's exciting. So yeah, looking forward to Christmas this year.
Yeah, right. Well, I've got a good chunk of time off at Christmas, which is nice. I finished on Friday, which was the 20th, and I don't go back till the 6th.
Nice.
Which I need. I needed it regardless. Because now I literally just like put me out of office on at work.
You can forget about it.
Right, that's it now. Yeah. Like I'm, you know, I don't need to think about work until like 3 weeks from now or 2.5 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, that that conversation that I had with my boss happened this week just gone. So literally
good timing, really ready for the break.
and to be fair, I had it in my radar to sit down in the new year with her, but she said let's sit down before Christmas, and I'm glad she did do that.
Yeah, definitely,
because then I wouldn't have been worried about,
you would have just been stressing over the whole Christmas.
And she's right, she's totally right. I just thought, well, you know, I'll just get Christmas out of the way, see how I feel. Because I think I was, like I said, I didn't want to act on emotion.
Yeah.
And it was very important to me during that conversation to not bring emotion into it.
Yeah.
I tried really, really hard to sit there and I thought, don't get angry, don't get upset, don't cry. And I know that's okay.
Yeah.
But, like I say, I didn't want any sort of emotion to cloud what I was saying.
Yeah.
And I'd rehearsed it. I'd rehearsed what I was going to say. I needed it to come across in the right way. And like say, my boss, to all her credit, sat there. She listened to me. And it was a really, really positive, productive conversation. And I would urge anyone that if you've got a boss who you think you can speak to, you got an itchy ear. You know, not everybody's going to be in the same situation where you're going to have a boss that is willing to sit there and listen to what you've got to say, even if it's not what they want to hear. They'll be as receptive, where my boss is quite receptive to what you've got to say to her. And, you know, and so we've worked together for a long time, so we have that good working relationship, and we both respect each other. So it was definitely worth that conversation.
Good.
But yeah, so... Which work, I think we've covered. Work, both of us.
Work.
But, you know, I'm going into, I'm trying to go into 2025, especially from a work perspective, that it's going to be a better year.
Yeah, absolutely. Positive vibes.
Positive vibes. I don't know whether I feel so positive, but I definitely feel more positive than I did a couple of weeks ago when we last
And that's a start.
That's a start.
So, yeah, you've not gone down, you've gone up.
Yeah. Don't you just love a positive attitude?
I'm so good at telling people to be positive.
Just not yourself.
No. No.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Should we go? Should we stop this episode or should we carry on?
Just thinking, I've not said about hospital.
Ooh, oh, yeah, you've not told me at all.
Said the name of the hospital, but never mind.
Oh, I can delete it.
We can edit that out.
Yeah, I'll cut that out and just start again. So you're going to tell us about... Because I've not heard anything about this.
No, you haven't, actually.
It was only our mutual friend that you saw in the week.
Yeah.
Because I know that you were going to request a debrief when I last saw you to speak about the sort of what happened during, like, when your waters broke, etc.
Yeah.
Then I saw a mutual friend of ours that you'd seen earlier in the week.
He would have told you.
She just said that you'd been.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know anything. So why don't you fill us in on
what
happened,
course.
Who you saw... What was spoken about.
So I decided that after, obviously, we've been through everything with Luna, a year's gone by, we then had coroner's court, we were still heavily involved in obviously speaking to everyone while we were waiting for coroner's court, bereavement midwives, coroners and all that. And then after that, it's like deathly silence. Yeah. Nobody talks to you.
No.
Nobody wants to know, obviously, because
it's like they've signed it off now. It's done, and it's like no,
you don't hear from anyone. And I know that it's been a year, and obviously there's other parents and families that need the bereavement and
but
the help and the support.
But it doesn't finish for you.
But
then.
Yeah, it doesn't just stop.
It's not
because
a closed case,
especially when the coroner said that the hospital were at fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, but obviously they don't want to then be involved, especially if anything's going to get taken further.
Of course.
Anyway, so the only people that we've been well, we don't really speak to them much, as we've just previously had a conversation about, but it's like solicitors, but we don't get involved with that hardly. So yeah, been mega busy at work, but then I've just like been thinking, oh, it's like nobody, not that nobody cares, but it's just like, well, it's done now.
Yeah,
she's died, there's your answer, that's it.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't happy. Yeah, I just wasn't, although I'd got some closure, there were still bits of the puzzle missing. The main one being why my waters broke.
Yes.
So obviously I had PROM, which is preterm premature rupture of your membranes, at 22 weeks. And because everything just then happened very quickly and went from one extreme to another, there was never really a discussion or answers to why that happened. Is there a reason for it? Or it was just, I was just told, it's one of those things. Even when I'd literally just got into hospital and they said, your waters have broke, it's just one of those things, it won't happen in your next pregnancy. That's what the doctor said after she just told me that, like, Luna was still alive, she was still okay, but yeah, don't worry, it won't happen next time.
You're like me, I always think there's a reason for everything. Whether they know the reason or not, there's a reason why your waters broke.
That's it. I couldn't accept that it's one of those things, and I wasn't going to accept it.
No, because there's a reason for it. There's a reason why your waters break. It's like when you're at full term, what triggers your waters breaking? It's the same principle, it's just happening earlier. So what triggered
it? So that's been playing on my mind more recently because I've had time to think now. So I decided in my wisdom, like I do, to join a PROM, a PROM Facebook group about other people that have gone through PROM and had premature babies. And it was mind-blowing the amount of positive stories that there were, even from Luna's gestation. So like 23, 24 weekers, anything for Luna was born at 23 weeks. So anything from 23 weeks, the amount of positive stories was amazing. And like so lovely to see, obviously very difficult to see and to read because we lost our daughter. But very nice to see that there is positive outcomes, whether that be a positive outcome that the baby survived but has some long-term health problems, or the baby survived and is an absolute thriving little tiny little baby. There was loads, and I was just made me feel like, why? Not, you know, not being like selfish, why me, why Luna? But I was feeling like, why did Luna have to die? And obviously we did have some answers from the coroner's court that it wasn't her prematurity that she died from, it was because of other failings in the NHS. So Richard obviously saw me looking, scrolling through this page, reading all these stories, and a lot of them also had a reasoning for their PROM. So they had an infection which made the waters broke, they had an incompetent cervix which made the waters break. Whereas I didn't have any of those. I didn't have an incompetent cervix. I've had a previously healthy pregnancy, full term, no complications. My cervix was closed with Luna right up until the point I gave birth. So again, it wasn't incompetent, it was fine. And infection, I had blood done the minute I got there. I didn't have any infection which caused my waters to break. I only developed sepsis
after
because there was no membrane there and until the bugs can get in there. So I thought, oh, sod it, I'm just going to message the bereavement midwife from my local hospital where we first approached. And she got back to me. I just said, like, I know I've not spoken to you for a while, but is there any way we can get an appointment with a consultant to just go through why it happened? I didn't want to discuss all of Luna and Luna's care, because that wasn't at that hospital.
No.
It was my pregnancy and the first initial
bit before she was born.
Greeting was with them, and then I was transferred.
Yeah.
So she's very good. She's like, phoned me straight away. We got an appointment and we went last week.
Did Richard go with you?
Huh?
Richard
came with me. So me and Richard went together, And it was with a consultant that in like neonatal care.
Okay.
And the bereavement midwife was also there. So she'd got some of my notes, like from what happened to, but she hadn't got all. Oh, I said it again. will be added. It doesn't matter, whatever.
At the end of the day, she wasn't born there anyway.
No, yeah.
I can try and beep them out.
Beep. Yeah, so the first hospital, they'd got their own notes, but they hadn't got the hospital notes from the other two hospitals. And they hadn't got, like, the coroner's information and all that. But
so were they aware...
Yes.
Before you went.
Yeah.
Clearly, because the bereavement nurse was yeah. there, but they obviously knew that that yeah. was in your notes that Luna had passed away.
Yeah. yeah. So they had got an overview of what happened.
But not
They
any
hadn't
detail.
Got, like, word for word conversations, right. what I was told, what we went yeah. through. So we just explained, like, the reasons why I'd contacted them, what we wanted from that meeting. And it mm-hmm. was more, was there a reasoning behind my waters breaking that we just weren't told, or... And
you're not aware yeah, of, or whatever.
And what that would mean for if we ever decided to have another pregnant, go ahead with rather yeah. than trying to have another baby.
Because then at least you'll be fully informed
exactly.
then, if you ever do decide.
Yeah. yeah. So they were really good. She basically said that there's two main things that cause PROM, which is incompetent cervix, infection. Neither of those I'd got or yeah. had or,
yeah.
you know. So she said... Although that's not good for you, because you're still in the unknown, mm-hmm. she says, we have put your case down to unknown cause of PROM.
Right.
And she said, and I will still agree that that is an unknown cause. We just don't know everything yet about,
yeah.
you know, there's not enough evidence behind anything else that causes PROM. Mm-hmm. She said, but that is positive for future pregnancies. Future pregnancies tend to go better when there isn't a cause for it, because okay. obviously it's normally like a medical cause.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's positive as such. So she also said that once you've had PROM in one pregnancy, you're then at a 15 to 20% chance of having PROM again in a future pregnancy.
Right.
But without any preventative measures being put in place.
Okay.
So then we went on to what that means. So she said, because we've already had one PROM and preterm baby, mm-hmm. if we did have another baby and were pregnant again, they would put us on like the PROM prevention pathway.
Okay.
So there's a pathway that's like a national guidance that all the hospitals have to follow, and it starts right before you even consider getting pregnant. So if you're okay. thinking about getting pregnant again, they advise that you have like sexual transmitted disease screening,
right,
just to check that there's nothing underlying. Obviously we've been together a very long time.
Yeah, not been sleeping around.
No, I haven't. Definitely haven't. Don't have time for any of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who can be bothered?
Yeah, definitely not me. So that you can have yeah. that done. Then if you do get pregnant, they advise, so all the regular medications that they advise you to take, so like your folic acid,
yeah.
your vitamin D, and then they also advise omega 3.
Okay.
So to take those tablets throughout pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they advise progesterone pessaries from like 16 weeks pregnant to 36 weeks pregnant every day.
Wow.
To help. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really sure what that helps with. We'd have to ask someone medical.
Boost of hormones, I suppose.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a hormone, isn't it? So what it does, or the reasoning behind it, I'm not sure. I didn't really question that. I was just like, great, right, I have to shove a pessary up your foof every night. Yeah. But great. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
But I suppose you'd be willing.
Yeah,
be willing. If it was going to help.
If it helps, exactly. And then also, so obviously you have your normal ultrasound scans. You'd have more, and you could request more if you needed more for your own reassurance.
Okay.
Obviously you'd be consultant-led care. You have all your normal screening, your blood tests, your urine samples, and everything that do throughout pregnancy, like normal anyway.
Yeah.
And then they also do, from 16 weeks to 36 weeks, they do cervical length ultrasound scanning. So they do like an internal scan of your cervix
to check that it's functioning properly.
To make sure that, she said there's like a basic length that your cervix should be to hold a healthy pregnancy. I think she said it was over like 2.5 centimetres or 3.5, I don't know. Don't hold me to that. So they do 4 weekly scans, internal scans, to check your cervix to make sure it's not shortening and it's not opening.
Okay.
And then if it does, they can do a circlage stitch, I think it's called.
I don't know what it's called, but I've heard that they can do stitching.
So that's like for an incompetent cervix. Yeah. So if it starts to open or shortening, they can put a stitch in which will hold it closed, mm-hmm. essentially. But then obviously that would come with its own risk factors of having that done. And obviously the shorter your cervix is, the more risky it is that it could pop your waters anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can actually request to have that anyway as a preventative measure if you wanted to, which I wouldn't, I don't think.
Not if you were having it checked and they were saying it's closed and it's
Yeah, because
it
I haven't
be.
Had a problem with that as far as we're aware anyway.
Yeah. So if they turn around and said, it's looking
like it's
opening or shortening or, you know, it's incompetent or whatever, you would, but until that's a risk factor.
So there was loads of things, and that was obviously my local hospital, which only deal with deliveries from 27 weeks currently. But the other option is that you could go to a more specialist hospital, like the one that we were, Luna was transferred to and died. That's a specialist hospital with like a level 3 NICU, and they deal with premature babies. So they also have what they call a rainbow clinic there. So for anyone that has lost a baby or a pregnancy, they have a rainbow clinic that you can like self-refer yourself to. Apparently you just phone up and you can refer and you can be under their care for your future pregnancy after loss. And they, because they're like a teaching training hospital, they might have some other procedures to put in place, but they're not classed as national guidance because not, you know, they've not been checked enough, I suppose. So it was a positive, although I cried the whole meeting. It was positive ish I think.
Did it give you some information that you didn't already know?
And a bit of reassurance that, because we basically said we have discussed about having another child previously. We haven't recently, since I just dropped this bomb on Richard, like, hey, we're going to consult a meeting.
But it's been something that you've discussed.
It's been something, because we wanted a second baby, which is why we got pregnant and why we had Luna. Was very much wanted. And there's still that want for a second baby. So I've never really imagined Lila being a single, well, what do you call it? Only child. I always get that wrong, don't I?
Only child.
I've just more recently, like, little things that Lila's said, like, oh, where's my brother or sister? Like, because obviously little friends, they've got brothers and sisters, and she loves playing with other children. I do feel like that, if we don't have another baby, are we, like, preventing her from having a sibling? And like, obviously that's just my mind going in overdrive. She doesn't think that
but
at all.
But like you say, that want.
Yeah, that want and desire is not gone.
No, and the want and desire is for Luna.
And
it's you. How can you even start to separate those two feelings between wanting another child and the want there that is always going to be there for Luna?
So that was, I remember being in hospital and we having this conversation, which is like, we are never going through this again. And I was like, of course we are, because I want another baby. But I wanted Luna. Like, Luna was my baby, and I wanted her, and I wanted to bring her
and
home.
You've got two children.
Not one at home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that, we've upped and downed with the wanting another baby, not wanting another baby, because it's absolutely broken us, like, and it's turned our world upside down and ripped it to pieces.
You can't even fathom going through this again.
No, so I said that. So if they had said in that meeting, there's a 50-50% chance, we would have said no. We're not doing that. We're not putting ourselves through that again.
Any high risk of it.
And I wouldn't want to put another baby through that.
No, of course,
So we actually haven't, because we've been so busy this week, haven't even had a chance to discuss it ourselves since we've had that meeting. It was positive, I suppose, that there is things in place. There is a positive outcome for future pregnancies and having a healthy baby.
And I think you've had a healthy pregnancy before as well. So whether that plays a part that if Luna, for example, was your first child,
you might go into it and go,
is this my body?
Yeah.
But your body's had a really uncomplicated, uneventful, which is great,
pregnancy, birth. Like the smoothest pregnancy, birth, delivery, everything.
You've had one extreme to the other, and that puts you in the sort of grey area that...
How's the next going to go?
Yeah, the third pregnancy, you know, it's unlikely that it'll take the path that Luna's did, but you're gonna have that in your back of your mind that it's a possibility.
Exactly.
But you're doing the right thing in terms of you're getting as much information you can, and then you can make an informed decision.
Exactly.
And there's no rush for you to make that informed decision, but at least you're going into it, whether you say yes or no, we'll go down that route. You then well, I'm armed with all the information that is physically possible to mm-hmm. get. Because yeah. they might not be able to give you a reason, but doesn't mean there isn't one.
No, exactly.
That's my thought. I just said that my opinion is they've just not, they're not so far into medical advances yet to give you a reason for that.
No, exactly, yeah.
And it could just be, when they say it's just one of those things, it could just mean, and I hate that phrase, I hate it, mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, it's just unfortunately one of those things. Don't say that. No. People said that to me, that, you know, like, Bonnie got stuck and, you know, on all of this, and then she was born not breathing, and she was like, oh, you had a standard, this happens. And really, I'm like, oh, right, okay. But I hate when people say that, because...
it's like normalising it, and
it's not normal, and it's not okay.
Yeah, that's why I was finding it so difficult, is that... no, it's not just one of those things, because my body as a female is made to reproduce and deliver babies.
Yeah.
And it's failed at that for whatever reason.
And it could be a reason that would never repeat. Yeah. As in, it could be a one-off reason. We just don't know that cause.
Yeah.
It could have been anything that, like you say, they're saying about like infection or something. Mm-hmm. Was there something like a hormone?
Yeah, imbalance.
Like, yeah,
or
imbalance.
Something.
Or I don't know. I'm not medically trained and I never will be. But there could just be something that they just don't know yet.
Yeah.
That could be just something that's, like you say, it's a one-off occurrence. Mm-hmm. It's not something that...
they've seen that often. That they've had the chance to do their research.
And that, like you say, that doesn't help you.
No.
But I also think that people need to validate the fact that it's happened for a reason.
Yeah.
And we just don't know what the reason is.
No, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's not just something that you can just go, oh, can't explain it, so...
yeah.
You have to move on. No, that's not. No. It's not the way you need to look at it.
Yeah. So yeah, it was. I felt positive overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has it made you have those conversations with Richard? Because you said that. Do you feel like that conversation with Richard is sort of imminent?
I think we would. I mean, I think we would. If we weren't so busy at work, I think we would have already had the conversation by now. Oh, excuse me. But yeah, we're not rushing anything.
No.
We're so busy with work, you know, we're in the first year of setting up a business. Mentally, financially and all that, we're not in the position to have a baby yet. So we'd get ourselves in a better place first to make sure that, you know, if we did fall pregnant, because previously I fell pregnant very quickly.
Yeah. I think...
you've got to be ready.
If you make the decision to be ready...
yes.
You're on the understanding that it could happen quite quickly.
Yeah. Oh, that was the only other thing that she said. I'm laughing about it, but it's not funny. But it's funny. She said at the end of the appointment, after all that, she was like, "Oh, there is one other thing," and I knew it was coming.
Okay.
Because I hadn't asked prior. I was going to ask, but I hadn't, because I just thought I don't want to know
what you're going to say now.
No, it's nothing that bad. She just said, obviously BMI comes into it.
Ugh, hate BMI.
Oh, BM bloody I. Oh, I was like, I'm not the fattest chuff in the world. Like, come on.
No, you're not.
Oh, God. So she was like, your BMI, like, we would recommend that, you know, you got your BMI down a bit, because that does help. They're not saying that BMI causes premature birth, but it makes labour, it's a risk factor, blah, blah, blah.
And I get that, but BMI is a load of bollocks.
Yeah.
Like,
and I've been this way, give or take, up and down a little bit, with both of my pregnancies and deliveries, and I've not had, well, I say not had a problem, obviously I've had a big problem with Luna, but I didn't have a problem with Lila.
In terms of weight, it's not.
No, so I come out of the meeting and like trying to make light of it, I was like, so the only outcome we got off that meeting is I just need to lose weight, Richard, and he's like, basically. You know, that is on the horizon, new year, we both want to lose
weight,
get ourselves healthier for ourselves, for Lila, and for future if we decided to go that way. That was funny, because it was like she was waiting to like for the right moment to say, you're a little bit on the fat side.
I remember on my booking appointment, and they took my BMI and or they did my height and my weight, and they were like, you're classed as high risk because of your BMI. I was like, yes, I'm aware that I'm actually classed, like, and I've always been overweight in my adulthood in various scales, a little bit overweight or a lot overweight, and I'm classed as obese.
Oh, I'm like morbidly obese, Jodie. Don't worry,
it's awful.
And you're definitely not, after all the weight you've lost recently. Crikey.
Well, like, given my health issues and you know, I was in a bad place, you know, on my maternity leave, and I decided to make sort of a fresh start. And this was last October that I sort of decided that I was going to lose some weight, but I was going to lose it slowly. And so it's been about 14 months since I've started losing weight, and it has come off a little bit more rapidly because of my health issues. But like, I've lost like 3 stone. It's like nearly 20 kilos. Yeah. And I got weighed at the doctor's the other day, and they were like, she was like, yeah, you're still obese. I was like,
oh, I would have told her where to go.
I nearly just went, oh, fuck off. Yeah. I just thought, you know, because like, you look at me now, and I would still say, yes, I'm still overweight.
No.
But I'm so not obese. Like, because I'm literally like, we weighed my daughter, didn't we, tonight?
Yeah.
And I've lost like 2 of my toddler.
Yeah.
And they're still classing me as obese. So BMI is a load of bollocks.
It is a load of bollocks.
It's a load of bollocks. So yes, I know that you have to say like you need to be the healthiest you can, but I'd have to lose like another 20 kilos.
There'd be nothing left of you, woman.
Literally 20 kilos. They want me to lose another 40 pounds to get in the like
the normal range. I'm never normal.
I know. I'm never gonna be in the normal range. I'm like, I'm just gonna aim to be in the overweight category.
I mean, I'm just going for obese, not morbidly obese. So you know, I just love cake.
I know.
You know, when I'm feeling shit, I want shit food, and then I regret it. And then it's just a
vicious. It's a comfort, isn't it? Like, and when you've got so.
We've
much
always
going
both
on.
Been sweet tooth, though, haven't we?
Like, it's not even. Mine's not even necessarily a sweet tooth in terms of I'm a comfort eater. It doesn't matter what it is.
Oh, same.
You know, and making the wrong choices, and you know, but my, like my same, I'll go into it maybe a different episode about my health issues.
Yeah,
it
definitely.
It's because of my pregnancy.
Yeah,
that this has sort of developed.
Ongoing,
so,
yeah.
But that's forcing me now to look at what I'm eating and the amount I'm eating and what am I putting in my body and all of this, because it was quite scary having this diagnosis. So. But we'll go into that in another episode. But you're not morbidly obese.
Thanks. I'm glad you didn't think
it's
so.
It's just not. It's just a load of bollocks. But, so. Yes, we'll end that episode
on being fat.
Maybe that's the name of the episode. BMI's a load of bollocks.
Yeah.
Well, we have an exciting episode next time for episode 10, because we have an interview lined up.
Yes,
so we've only done one interview currently. It's Claire's and Max's story. But we've got an interview coming up with a lady who had her daughter at 38 weeks stillborn.
Yeah.
And she is going to sit down with us and tell us her story. So I anticipate it's going to be an emotional one. It's going to be quite a tough listen. But it's important that we have these conversations and these sort of topics are discussed.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
People have the platform to discuss them.
Open and share.
Yeah, and you know, and I know this lady, you know, she's open about it and she wants to speak about her daughter and
absolutely,
you know, tell her and her daughter's story. So hopefully we give that platform to her.
Yeah.
To
we're looking forward to speaking to her, aren't we? So,
we are. So we will sign off and we will see you on the next episode.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. See you. Bye.
Bye.